desire and interest in your prayers again today. So I'd like to talk to you about herding cats. This is an expression that's not original to me, but it's something that a good friend of mine, someone that I really miss, is something that he would say once in a while when we were maybe visiting or just talking, and he would relate something as it's kind of like herding cats. As Brother Michael Williamson used to use that expression, at least in personal conversation with me. You know, there's some creatures that have a herd mentality. You know what I'm talking about? If you have three or four cows together, you'll find out very quickly that if one of them has chooses to go get a drink of water, they all go get a drink of water. If one of them goes to the hay bale, they all go to the hay bale. And they are such creatures of habit that they seem to have a way of consolidating, and then they'll follow one another single file to the water trough. They'll follow, and they wear, we call them cow paths. There'll be a little path that's worn in the field that may be, I don't know, it looks like there's no way an animal that large can be walking on that path, but it'll be something maybe 12, 16 inches wide, and that's where their hooves have all went, and they'll have the grass worn off, and they'll have it pushed down to the point that it's like a little gully through the field, because they just, yesterday, I was doing some things with a tractor, and I left the gate open, and realized, one of the things that I've really learned, if they're all interested in something, I don't have to worry about one of them straying off and wandering out the gate. I left the gate open, and I would just disturb a little bit of the dirt, and the cows are all curious, and they was over there sniffing of the dirt and all of that. I went in and out for probably 30 minutes or a little longer, and none of them ever offered to go out the gate because they were all herded up together. Now, a cat is not a herd type animal. If you have, whether you have two cats or 20 cats, they all go different ways all at the same time. And it is very difficult to get them all to do. If they're really hungry and they're dependent on you for food, then they may all come to the food pan at the same time. But to get behind them and try to herd cats into a particular direction is almost impossible. And you can get behind some cattle and kind of get them turning and moving a little bit, and they'll all kind of come together, and then you can just kind of, don't try to get one off by itself, because if you do, it'll run around and get with the others. You just got to take all, everybody's got to go at the same time with a cow, but the cats, that's not true. So I want us to think this morning about leadership. Herding cats. I'd say some of us value, maybe all of us say we would, value and we respect and we'll work with leadership. This is demonstrated by looking out for what's the goal? What's the common goal? What's the goal of the herd, if you will? What's the goal of maybe a congregation or maybe the employer, the place that you work? What What is the thing that we're working towards? We become more accountable for our personal actions and how they would either contribute to the herd or be a distraction to that. Ultimately, not everyone wants a leader, and they only want a leader because they want the leader to be able to take the blame for things when they went go wrong. You ever notice that? Who's in charge around here? Well, why did the dumpster catch on fire? You know, they're looking for somebody that'll take responsibility for that. Instead of looking for the source, maybe as collective, how did this all happen? Maybe they only want to volunteer a leader to provide a solution when they're unsure of the next step. Don't want to think about it myself. You just tell me what I do next. You know how wearing that is on a leader? If you have to tell someone, breathe in, breathe out. Just every little step. Maybe some only want a leader to provide emotional support and have mercy on them when they're in the wrong. They've done something wrong. I've thought many times, you know, the ultimate leader that we have as far as a Christian goes, it would be Christ, would it not? And what style of leadership did he have? Was he constantly trying to herd the cats? Or did he take a different approach? And I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. I'd like to read beginning in verse 21, I believe it is. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." So he's the leader, right? Christ is our leader. Christ should be my leader. If I profess to be a Christian, then he should be my leader. And it says here, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, a pattern that we ought to follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He was someone that we could safely pattern after. You know, I've worked with men before. One of them, in fact, had he rode a motorcycle and he had these like bumper stickers or something on his helmet, and he said, "I'm not totally worthless." One of these stickers says, "I'm not totally worthless. At least I can be used for a bad example." Well, that's not who Christ was. Christ was a good example. He did things the way that he wants us to do them. So I want us to think about the example he gave, the leadership and the style of leadership he had. And then I want us to ask ourselves, some of us, all of us, have opportunities to be the leader. Other people look to us for something. If you're the husband in the house, your wife's going to look to you. If you're the wife at the home, at least the children is going to look to you, and there's probably others. There's people outside of the home that's going to look to you. We come here to the church building, and you're expecting someone to lead the singing. At least I am. You're looking to someone to lead out in prayer. You're looking for someone to take prayer requests. You're looking for someone to kind of keep things rolling to where at the, you know, we can come to a place that we can say, well, somebody's got to say, all duty's done. Are we going to dismiss? Or are we just going to kind of keep mumbling along for a while? You know, all of us here are looking for some element of leadership. And all of us have an opportunity to fulfill part of leadership. So I'm wanting us to consider, this is really kind of a broad overview of leadership. And asking us the question, are we just trying to herd some cats? So in verse 23 it says, who, this is the example that Jesus gave, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that's on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. For ye were as sheep going astray. A sheep without a shepherd will aimlessly go astray. Sheep are herd type animals, are they not? And sheep like to be together. And if something frightens one of them, all of them get frightened. And if one of them decide to go for water, they all go for water. So because we as humanity didn't have a shepherd, we were going astray. We were drifting aimlessly because we didn't have a leader, mankind was. Jesus came along, gave us some of his characteristics, and it said there in the first verse that we read, verse 21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So he is depicted as our leader. He's the one that brought us together as sheep that were going astray. And we are to begin to follow the example that he gave for us, the life, the style that he lived, the things that he avoided and the things that he embraced. And that's the things that we ought to try to incorporate into our lives and follow that leadership. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, and I want to notice something that he had presented to him, Jesus did, in Luke chapter 12. Just going to read a couple verses. Verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, now Jesus, people had begun to look to him as a leader at this point, right? And they, one of the people that there, it says one of the company, I don't know if that means that there was a group of 10 or a group of 100 or 1,000, I don't know. But somebody was in the number that were following Jesus from one spot to the next, and they were following as much out of curiosity as anything, right? They were following, I don't know what this man's going to do next. He might heal a blind man, and he might give us some words that cause us to really think about what life is all about. But they were following Jesus, and they were following him because he went different places, and because of the novelty of who Jesus was, and I believe the people were still trying to determine just what kind of person he was. That's my perception. And this man come to him and he said, Master, would you talk to my brother? I think it was probably a literal biological brother. He says, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So this can be a pretty tedious thing sometimes, can it? If siblings are not cooperative during that time. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, Man, who's made me a judge or a divider over you? What did Jesus just do? He he sidestepped being, we would say, well, he could have gave some direction and some leadership right there. But he sidestepped a responsibility and gave it back to the man and said, I'm going to say it this way. I don't need to be herding cats. You know, what if he would have said, okay, well, where's your brother at? Well, we'll meet this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about what's going on and how much the estate you're dealing with and what you think is fair and what he thinks is fair, and we'll get this all worked out. And maybe we'll make reference to some of the statutes and laws and traditions and you name it. We'll get it worked out for you. If he would have done that, it would have set a precedence, wouldn't it? And the next person that had a dispute over their inheritance would have come to Jesus and said, need some help. My brother not wanting to divide the inheritance just exactly the way I think he ought to. He avoided solving the problem that they had the tools to solve themselves. They knew what law was. They knew what tradition was. They knew what the expectation was. Maybe they had, I'm just going to say it in more modern terms, maybe they had a will from their parents. I don't know. But even if there wasn't, there was some governing things. I mean, we've heard things like the oldest son got twice as much as any of the rest of them. I don't know what their rules were in that time period of history, but they did. They already had all the tools, and they come and wanted Jesus to do something that it would have overloaded him, and it would have put him in a position. Jesus could have easily went from a spiritual leader to a financial advisor in a short amount of time. He could have done it. And he would have felt like he was herding cats. And he avoided it. He said, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Somebody comes to me on the job and asks me for some pointers. And if it's a job I've done a lot of times, I can tell them everything. And then I walk by and see they're not doing it exactly the way I told them that they ought to do it. You know, I got to be careful, because if I step in there and say, I thought I told you to do this first before you go to that, and you know, I'll be herding cats. There's no way to keep it. If you go around, now, I know this is a little bit archaic for some of the younger generation, but there was a time that all of us would have had a checking account and checkbook, right? And we ought to balance our checkbook with the bank statement once in a while, you know? Well, if you was really good at it, Brother David, I'm going to pick on you. If you were really good at it, and we found out that you had a knack for balancing checkbooks, and then we started bringing you all of our checkbooks to balance with our bank statements, and then you start worrying about, I hadn't seen you in a couple months, and you start worrying about everybody's checkbook and whether they're balanced with the bank. And that's herding cats. I ought to be able to do it for myself, you see. We ought to be able. Jesus said to the man, who made me a judge over you? Who put me? That's not what I'm here for. We can be overcharged with trying to keep everybody in line. And that's what managing herding cats is all about. We can do that in temporal things. And I'm going to tell you that it's easy for me to get in that rut. Somebody didn't do it exactly the way I thought they ought to, and it's easy for me to get in the rut of, here, let me help you with that. When really, I ought to just back off. That's what I ought to do. I know it. But it's easy for me to try to herd cats. But I want to learn from what the Scripture says. I'd like to turn now to Luke. Well, we read Luke 12. Let's go to John, the second chapter. St. John chapter 2. I want to notice here, chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And Jesus and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." So Jesus, we said, was a leader. He is a leader. He should be our leader today. And he set a precedence here by coming in and saying, this is not acceptable in the house of the Lord. So I want us to recognize that it is the leader's responsibility to set a precedence. We know that Joshua set a precedence when he said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." He didn't go down the path of trying to herd all of the cats. He said, "As for me and my house." Jesus said here, "You're not going to make my Father's house a house of merchandise." This is the temple. He didn't do this in any other synagogues where the Jews came to worship. This was the temple. And he said, don't make the temple a house of merchandise. And he set a precedence. I don't know if at the synagogues or other places they had some of this other stuff going on or not. But he set a precedence here. And it's important for a leader to set a precedence. It's important for the leader to set a precedence that can be followed. And that's the style that Jesus used. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, and he was assimilating, you might say, his disciples. He was calling them. Have you ever wondered how many people Jesus might have said some of these words to? We're going to read beginning in verse 18, chapter 4 of Matthew. He says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going in from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but I wonder how many times Jesus walked by somebody that was a fisherman and he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Have you ever thought of that? Because I don't believe that everybody that Jesus said, follow me, followed him. In fact, I know that we, all of us here, have probably said to somebody, why don't you go to church with me? I'd like to invite you to come to service. To somebody, co-worker, neighbor, maybe some of our relatives. Why don't you go to church with us sometimes? And what's the response you get? Nothing. Maybe they don't say. Maybe that's where the conversation ends. Maybe they say, "Yeah, someday." I've had those kind of responses too. I'd like that someday. That day has never arrived. I wonder how many times Jesus said, "Follow me," and somebody thought, "But I got a fish," and they stayed fishing. But we have an account here, four men that responded They abandoned what they were doing. They begin to follow Jesus. Why do you think they followed Jesus? Because they saw something there that they wanted to be part of. I want you, all of you, to be here because you want to be here. I want you to be here because there's something here that draws you, just like it drew the disciples to Jesus. I want the power of God to be the magnet that draws us in, not the person. I'm not a person that I feel has a magnetic personality. I want the power of God in the presence of His Spirit to be the drawing force. I want others to come. I'd like somebody in every pew. In fact, I'd like a lot of people in every pew. I'd like the building to be full. I'd like for us to have an issue with parking. We don't. Because not everybody that hears the call, follow me, will follow. I'm not saying follow me. I'm talking about following Christ. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, tax collector, is who he was. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. He got up from his business of collecting revenue, taxes, and he followed the Lord. He saw something in Jesus' life. Remember what we read about the qualities of his life earlier? We read about him that he had... those qualities of that we think that ought to be in a Christian today. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He was an honorable person. And he said to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in the 27th verse, it says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And commentators believe that this is the same man. This Matthew's name was Levi as well. So Matthew Levi maybe, or Levi Matthew, I don't know. But just another account of Matthew or Levi saw something in Jesus, and he was willing to follow his leadership. Jesus did not follow after his disciples and herd them like cats. They followed him because they saw the value of following him. None of us, I want us to take this home with us today, none of us will ever be successful in our walk with the Lord if we're only being kept in line by a cat herder. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? If somebody is constantly telling us what we're doing wrong and what we're doing right, and we don't have a real desire in ourselves to be pleasing to the Lord, we won't be successful. I'll keep talking, so maybe I'll be more clear. These men that left their nets, their livelihood, this man that left his responsibility of collecting taxes, we call him Matthew. They that abandoned those things that seemed to be so necessary in life to follow Jesus, followed him because they valued something that they saw in Jesus. Not because Jesus was coming along and micromanaging them. It's because they wanted to have the qualities that Jesus exuded as he walked through this life. You know, there's a time for us as leaders, if we're parents, we're leaders today. If we're parents of small children, we're leaders. If we're parents of adult children, we're leaders. And there's a place for us to establish precedences. And there's a places for us as parents to say, look, you're going to have to make that call yourself. You're going to have to make that call. I didn't come here to be your judge. You've got the tools to fix it, to understand what you ought to do now. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul said something that I find quite amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If Paul said it, we ought to be able to say it. For our families, for the congregation, we ought to be able to do that. I don't believe Paul was divine any more than I'm divine. Paul was a man. He was a man of like passions like I am. He was a man that had a lot of failures in his life. He made the wrong call. He got off on the wrong path. And yet the Lord had mercy and he called him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? You remember that account? And then when he realized what he was doing, he made the adjustments with God's help. And he became what we know as the Apostle Paul. And Paul began to follow the Lord close enough that he was able to say to the church at Corinth, be ye followers of me, not because I'm special, even as I also am of Christ. So I'll ask us men here today, can we say to our spouses and our children, follow me as I follow Christ? Mothers, can you say to your children, follow me as I follow Christ? It's a big challenge. It's a lot easier, it looks like, on the surface, to be a cat herder. You're doing that wrong. You're doing this wrong. Here, let me show you how to do that. You know how overcharged that causes us to be? In short order, we feel like we're carrying the whole world. And we're exhausted. But if we can only live in a way that is like Christ's leadership, and be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ, and it be able to produce the results. I don't know about you, but I just know about me. I know that that's a tall order. It's a tall order to live in a way that I could say to someone else, follow me as I follow Christ. All of us can, and there's times that we have to try to, you might say, herd a few cats when we have small children. And we have to try to keep everything in line and make sure they all brush their teeth and they all wash their face and they all change their clothes and all of this kind of, we have to do all those things. But there comes a time with our children that we shouldn't have to tell them, brush your teeth, right? I don't know what that age number is right now, but there comes a time where parents quit reminding the children to brush your teeth. There comes a time you quit reminding your children to comb their hair or wash their face. And it's why? It's because they're following something you've instilled in them. There comes a time, there's a time when we are teaching them to memorize a Bible verse and learning how to do this task and that task. And that's kind of like herding cats. I know it is. But there comes a time when you can say, just follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I... You watch how it's worked out for me. And if you really want it, you know why? You know why Matthew followed the Lord? Because he wanted to. You know why Peter and Andrew and James and John left their fishing and began to follow the Lord? Because they wanted to. You know why we're going to be successful and make it to God's heaven and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know how we're going to get there? Because we want to go. Because we want to follow the leadership that Christ had. Because we want to follow those that are following Christ. Because we want to pattern our life after someone that's patterned theirs after Christ. I could name some names, thinking of one in particular today. I want to follow the Lord like they followed the Lord. And I trust that all of us here this morning will be challenged to be a leader toward the way we follow the Lord will cause someone else to want to follow the Lord too. I don't know how many times that Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, I don't know how many times they had been exposed to Christ when he said, follow me. But I got to believe this wasn't a first-time acquaintance. I got to believe they had witnessed some things. Lord, help us to be able to set a pattern in place where others that's looking on will say, I believe if I'll follow that example, I'll be successful. But it's not just following a person, it's following the Lord himself. Lord, help us. I love to have a good example. I like to learn from someone that knows how to do it. But I want to follow the Lord ultimately. I want to know how to follow him. And folks, I want you to realize that Jesus is not into cat herding. He wasn't into cat herding when the man came to him and said, you know, I've got this disagreement with my brother on how we ought to handle the inheritance. My parents have passed away, and it's time for us to settle the inheritance. And Jesus said, you already know all the rules. He didn't say that in the scripture, but you know what to do. There's a lot of things you know what to do with. That's when we listen to the prompting of the Spirit, when we read in the Scripture, Lord, help us to follow the Lord like Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew. Lord, help us to want to follow him. You know, there was one disciple that we don't have any record of Jesus saying, follow me. You know what his name was? His name was Judas. How did that turn out? Didn't turn out so well, did it? He thought he wanted to follow the Lord, and he did, it seemed to be. But everybody else, I believe, got the call, follow me. I want us to follow the Lord because we see something there that's valuable to us. Lord, help us to value the leadership and the leadership style that Jesus had, and not try to revert back to thinking that he is going to herd us like a bunch of cats. He's not going to do that. He wants you to follow him. I could point my finger at everybody here and say, the Lord wants you to follow him. But if you don't want to follow him, he's not going to herd you like a cat. Because that's what it'd be like. Because you'd be off the one wall and off of another. It's hard to herd a cat. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.